This podcast reviews a variety of peer-reviewed publications and literary works that have empirically investigated or surveyed employers' attitudes and practices in hiring ex-offenders, as well as discussing issues such as the willingness to hire individuals with felony convictions. It also discusses employers' demand for ex-offenders, enhancing employment opportunities for those with criminal histories, and what types of occupations ex-offenders are currently performing. In order to better understand and grasp the many barriers that ex-offenders have when looking for employment, it is helpful to understand various laws and federal legislation that can impact an individual's employability, specifically those who have misdemeanor and felony convictions. While the Civil Rights Act of 1964, nor the EEOC's Uniform Guidelines on Employment Selection Procedures, address arrest or conviction records, these provisions provide the foundation for which applicants challenge employers' consideration of criminal background checks. The argument becomes that individuals may challenge an employer's use of criminal background investigations if it has a disparate impact or shows that individuals of a specific protected class, for example, based on race, religion, sex, national origin, were excluded by the employment condition at a substantially higher rate than other classes, or that the employer excluded a greater percentage of individuals of one protected class than other classes based on the background investigation itself. So as we can see, it is possible that an employer's hiring practices could potentially discriminate against various individuals based on race or national origin should those individuals have a statistically higher percentage of arrest or conviction. The employer's main defense is that an individual with a criminal conviction would violate what is termed as the business necessity, arguing that an individual who has such an arrest or conviction record would be unable to perform specific or essential duties of the job. As contained in the article of Harrison Keller in 2005, a district court in Ohio found that the city's use of arrest records when hiring fire department trainees was not a business necessity, and found that the background checks were too crude for the claimed purposes of determination of applicants. The court found that there was no procedural safeguard to ensure that applicants with non-larcenous convictions were not disqualified. Courts have in general a knowledge that employees who have invested interest in overall safety of the general public are faced with unique situations in such that they should be afforded more discretion in using criminal background investigations when selecting candidates. In the United States versus Chicago in 1976, background investigations for police cadet candidates were found to be acceptable in attempting to discover evidence of bad character and moral conduct and dissolute habits. It is important to note that the court did state that if the investigation revealed a conviction for a serious felony, the conviction would serve as a valid ground for disqualification regardless of whether the condition represented a disproportionate ratio of impact or desperate impact. Of importance is the EEOC, or otherwise known as Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, stated that the use of arrest records alone in determining employability violates an individual's civil rights because it has the foreseeable effect of denying black applicants equal opportunity for employment in that blacks are arrested substantially more than whites. In Gregory v. Litton Systems in 1970, the court found that hiring decisions that were based on non-conviction arrest records violated an individual's civil rights because it disproportionately affected black applicants. So as we can see in summary, and has been pointed out by Harrison Keller in the review of various federal legislation and court decisions affecting criminal background checks, that general absolute preclusion of ex-offenders has been found to violate Title VII. They do, however, note that either through case law, statutory enactments, or occupational licensing restrictions, many exceptions based on the business necessity defense of the organization have been created to permit employers to exclude applicants with criminal records. Of particular relevance to this podcast, it is important to understand what kinds of positions that individuals may be capable of performing with a criminal record, as well as those positions for which they will be excluded. Many statutes authorize government agencies to revoke or suspend licenses of those with felony convictions. In a publication by the Idaho Commerce of Labor titled Enhancing Employment Opportunities for Ex-Offenders, a mail survey was distributed to a variety of employers used to gauge what types of occupations employers would consider hiring ex-offenders to perform, the ex-offenders' level of skills preferred, and whether a federal bonding program would influence their hiring decision. A total of 922 surveys were sent to employers throughout Idaho. The response rate was 25%, and the findings represented a statistical significance of 95% confidence with a margin of error of plus or minus 6.3. The highest percentage of employers who would consider hiring ex-offenders fell within the welding, small engine repair, carpentry, plumbing, building and maintenance, commercial driving, electrical wiring, and commercial cleaning trade industries. Approximately 60% of those employers surveyed indicated that they would hire ex-offenders for general office clerk and data entry specialist positions, and between 66 and 76% of employers within the hospitality occupations, that includes hotel, restaurant, food service, and tourism, indicated that they would hire ex-offenders. By industry sector, wholesale trade, manufacturing, accommodation and food services, accommodation and support, and waste management were some of the highest industry sectors in which it was identified that employers would hire ex-offenders. Construction occupations were also found to be very high in their willingness to hire ex-offenders. It should be noted that, however, the sample size across various industries were quite small, thus limiting the generalizability of these findings. A similar study conducted in Virginia by Eric Lichtenberger in 2006 investigated the earnings and presumption that most ex-offenders are only able to find employment in low-level occupations, have low rates of job retention, and have jobs that typically require limited customer contact. The literature review by Lichtenberger did not identify any specific research that systematically examined earnings records to examine the industries in which employers have demonstrated patterns of hiring ex-offenders, although he did note that it had generally been presumed that most ex-offenders are only able to find employment in low-level occupations. While this particular study did not differentiate specifically between those ex-offenders with misdemeanor or felony convictions, a variety of statistics were gathered from Virginia employers, specifically noting the percentages of employers within the industry that are currently hiring ex-offenders. The highest industries identified that hire ex-offenders were within the construction and manufacturing, food and accommodation and services, and administrative support service sectors. Industries in which ex-offenders found it difficult to obtain employment and were not significantly represented were within the professional, scientific, and technical services, real estate, finance and insurance, and information-related careers. There was also a negligible amount of ex-offenders with public administration, and less than 4% were located within the healthcare industry. The overall results identified that jobs within the construction industry offer the most job stability for the greatest number of ex-offenders. Some of the most inclusive and scientific investigation into the hiring of ex-offenders have been conducted by Holzer, Raphael, and Stoll. A working paper authored for the Berkeley Program on Housing and Urban Policy specifically investigated the willingness of employers to hire ex-offenders, addressing specific issues related to employer checks, background checks, and their determinants. Holzer et al. Identified that certain occupations are legally closed to individuals with felony convictions under state and many cases under federal law. Examples of these jobs include positions that require contact with children, various health services occupations where employees are responsible for providing hands-on patient care, and various employments within firms providing security services. It's also identified that many jobs requiring significant customer contact or the handling of cash or expensive merchandise would also be problematic for ex-offenders to be considered. Holzer et al. Also addresses a significant concept or theory that many employers exercise as part of their human resources practice called the theory of negligent hiring. This particular theory assumes that employers are not only responsible for their employees within the organization, but their employees interacting with the public as well. If it is found that an employer has created a risk by exposing employees who are potentially dangerous to the public, they could be held liable for the employee's criminal or torturous act. Given that employers could be exposed to possible punitive damages affecting business operations, it is assumed that stringent criminal checks and background investigations would be conducted. There have been several examples where employers were held responsible for the criminal acts of their employees under negligent hiring, including judgments against the owner of a taxi company and security services for sexual assaults committed by employees. In fact, additional statistics indicate that employers had lost approximately 72% of negligent hiring cases with an average settlement of over $1.6 million. In 1999, the U.S. Department of Justice concluded that criminal history record information is increasingly becoming more available to non-criminal justice users, implying that employers will be more apt and able to conduct criminal background investigations when screening potential employees. This also brings to light various concerns regarding employers' ability to interpret these background investigations, including various terminology and judicial dispositions. Holzer and colleagues conducted a survey collected through a multi-city study of urban inequality. This survey included over 3,000 establishments and was conducted between 1992 and 1994 among employers in Atlanta, Boston, Detroit, and Los Angeles. Telephone surveys were conducted with individuals in charge of hiring, and each survey included two questions vital to the current analysis. One question was posed regarding the employer's preferences with respect to workers with criminal histories, as well as a question of whether or not employer uses of criminal background checks as part of their hiring process. When assessing employers' reluctance to hire ex-offenders, over 60% of employers indicated that they would be probably not or definitely not willing to hire an applicant with a criminal record. Only 30% of employers indicated that they would definitely or probably consider an applicant with a criminal history, with only 12.5% indicating that they would definitely consider hiring an ex-offender. Approximately 92% of employers indicated that they would definitely or probably hire a former welfare recipient. 96% indicated that they would probably or definitely hire workers with a GED in lieu of a high school diploma. 59% of employers indicated that they would hire employees with a spotty employment history, and 83% indicated that they were likely to consider an applicant who had been unemployed for over a year or more. This is in stark contrast with only 38% of employers stating that they would definitely or probably accept an application from an ex-offender. Holzer and colleagues identified that there were significant differences in the propensity to check criminal backgrounds across areas, noting that there was a propensity to check criminal backgrounds among employers in Atlanta, Detroit, and Los Angeles. However, employers in Boston were least likely to use criminal background checks as a screening device. Holzer et al. Offered potential explanations of these differences in that the size of the population of ex-offenders or differences in the ease in which employers can access criminal justice information could be different among various cities. It is probable that employer attitudes towards applicants with criminal histories will be related to the employer's business and the nature of the position that is being filled. These authors noted that employers who cannot monitor their employees or have employees staffed in positions that deal frequently with the public would be more adverse to hiring ex-offenders. One of the strongest associations identified in this particular study noted a relationship between an employer's unwillingness to hire ex-offenders and whether the job involved frequent customer contact. Among employers least willing to hire ex-offenders, 71% of the positions required customer contact. Employers that were the least willing to hire ex-offenders are more likely to require high school degrees, recent and specific work experience, references, and some vocational education. Various tables constructed and outlined in the studies of Holzer, Raphael, and Stoll are useful in identifying differences in the size and industrial distributions between employers that conduct background checks and those who do not. Small employers were found to rarely use background checks, whereas nearly 40% of small employers never check the backgrounds of applicants. Manufacturing firms were also found to be least likely to check the backgrounds of applicants, where public service, such as fire and police, are most likely. Interestingly, it was identified that unionized establishments screened criminal history records more than non-unionized establishments. As is previously stated, many of the studies addressing ex-offenders did not differentiate between misdemeanor and felony convictions. In fact, according to Varghese in 2006, research has yet to investigate if misdemeanors are seen as less serious than a felony with regards to ex-offender employability. In a study conducted by Varghese, Hardin, Bauer, and Morgan in 2010, it was identified that applicants with drug possession charges and low qualifications were less likely to be referred for higher than ex-offenders. It was also identified that severity of charges influences employability, but qualifications have no influence for applicants with a felony conviction. This specific study addressed attitudes towards hiring ex-offenders, specifically the role of the criminal history, job qualifications, and race. The literature reviewed by these authors identified that after 1 year of release from incarceration, nearly 60% of ex-offenders remained unemployed in the United States. One specific reason for this unemployment was employer bias. Many authors provided research as contained in the study identifying that employer bias remains one of the strongest barriers to employment of ex-offenders, and that those with criminal histories have a lower chance of obtaining and maintaining employment than those with physical impairments and communication deficits. Although somewhat dated, since 1995, the accessibility of criminal records for employment selection has increased 83%, and with this greater accessibility, there is an increase in employers who state they are willing to always check criminal backgrounds. Also, consistent with previous research, the type of crime appeared to be important in making hiring decisions, whereas nonviolent, victimless crimes were associated with less bias. Holzer and colleagues identified that employers appear more likely to hire those with drug-related crime or property offenses as compared to those with violent offenses. Interestingly, Varghese pointed out that no study has examined if employers are more likely to hire those with misdemeanor drug possession charges compared with felony drug charges. The study conducted by Varghese in 2010 was to explore the interactive effects of race, criminal history, and job qualifications on the perceived employability of hypothetical applicants who have a criminal history as compared to those who do not. This study consisted of 275 undergraduates from a public university, 162 of whom were women, 112 men. Participants were given a description of a cashier position because it required few skills and employers appear more likely to hire those with criminal histories for jobs that have or require little education and low job skills. A study identified that job qualifications have no effect on the strength of the hiring recommendation for those with a felony charge. The qualifications did, however, have an effect on whether the applicant with a felony was considered for the job. Only 46.9% of unqualified applicants with a felony were considered for the job, compared with 75.6% of qualified applicants with a felony charge. The results of the study demonstrate that there were significant bias in hiring those with criminal charges compared with those with none. It was also identified that possessing job qualifications appears to mitigate the bias, at least for those with a misdemeanor charge. There was also findings that participants were equally unlikely to be recommended as an applicant for employment when they either had a misdemeanor or felony charge. One of the most significant findings from the study is that it appeared a felony charge is more difficult to overlook by employers regardless of an applicant's qualifications. Stoll and Bushway in 2008 provided a useful framework in assessing employability of ex-offenders. The authors specifically identify both supply and demand factors affecting employability of ex-offenders. They suggest that several factors suggest potentially negative effects of criminal convictions in the labor market outcome, specifically on the supply side of the market. Those who have been incarcerated fail to accumulate work experience, have less ability to social network, and may experience an erosion of skills while incarcerated. Regarding the demand side, Stoll and Bushway noted that employers may be reluctant to hire workers for fear that an ex-convict may harm a customer or be likely to steal, thus reinforcing the theory of negligent hiring. Stoll and Bushway examined the Ban the Box movement, which aims to eliminate criminal history questions from standard employment applications. They note that in Boston, Chicago, Minneapolis, San Francisco, and St. Paul, all of which recently have passed laws to eliminate the question about criminal history records from applications for municipal jobs. This with the overall goal to get individuals with criminal convictions on their record to be considered on the basis of their merits rather than information about their criminal past. The concern comes when employers are purposefully seeking additional information regarding employees. The intention for these employers are to make better risk-assessed hiring decisions and striking the balance between avoiding disparate impact charges and protecting themselves under the theory of negligent hiring. As we can see, striking this balance can be somewhat difficult. The literature reviewed by Stoll and Bushway in their study of effective criminal background checks on hiring ex-offenders noted that evidence showed, unsurprisingly, that employers' aversion to hiring ex-offenders is high and that firms' check backgrounds are larger in size and in industries that have more customer contact, such as retail, trade, and service. Pager in 2003 used an audit study framework identifying that white and black men with criminal records are much less likely to be called back for job interviews than their counterparts without such records. The study conducted by Stoll and Bushway specifically analyzed whether employer-initiated criminal background checks negatively affected the actual hiring of ex-offenders in Los Angeles in 2001. As was identified, evidence was found that the use of criminal background checks is negatively related to the hiring of ex-offenders, and the effect was particularly strong with employers that are legally required to check. Lastly, Pager in 2003 conducted one of the most thorough and scientifically relevant investigations into the mark of a criminal record, specifically issues regarding employability of ex-offenders. Dr. Pager created a model of direct causation, implying that in periods of incarceration will directly influence employment outcomes, and tested a variety of hypotheses based on an audit survey methodology. Dr. Pager focused on the effect of a criminal record on employment opportunities, directing specific attention to the stigma associated with criminal justice intervention and the ways in which employers respond to this stigma in considering applicants. Dr. Pager was of the opinion that those sent to prison are institutionally branded as a particular class of individuals, such as college graduates or welfare recipients, with implications for the perceived place, and branded this as a negative credential. Prior to Pager's research, the most relevant research pertaining to this course of study was by Schwartz and Schlonick in 1962, where researchers prepared four sets of resumes to be sent to prospective employers containing various types of criminal records. This particular study, conducted by Schwartz and Schlonick, was limited to only one job type, an unskilled hotel clerk, thus limiting its generalizability. In each condition, however, employers were less likely to consider applicants who had any prior contact with the criminal justice system. Without being too lengthy and specific, Pager's study involved the use of formula auditors, two black males and two Caucasian males paired by race who collectively applied for over 350 positions, completing applications and proceeding as far as they could during the course of the hiring process. Each audit pair was randomly assigned to 15 job openings per week and rotated among being an ex-offender or being an individual without a criminal background. The most common types of jobs were for restaurant workers, laborers, and production workers. There were also a fair number of customer service, sales, clerical, and even some managerial positions that were included in the study. When considering the Caucasian or white test group, a criminal record reduced the likelihood of a callback by 50% across all occupational categories. Among black applicants and test subjects without criminal records, only 14% received callbacks relative to 34% of white test subjects with non-criminal records. Of concern, even white test subjects with criminal records received more favorable treatment than blacks without criminal records, although the percentage was plus or minus 3%. The study conducted by Pager offered direct evidence of the causal relationship between the criminal justice record and employment outcomes. Dr. Pager noted that mere contact with the criminal justice system and the absence of any transformed or selective effects severely limits subsequent employment opportunities. The finding that ex-offenders are only one-half to one-third as likely as not offenders to be considered by employers suggests that a criminal record indeed presents a major barrier to employment. The effect of race on employment opportunities is also clear in this particular study, where black test subjects were found to be less than half as likely to receive consideration by employers relative to their white test subject counterparts. In summary, those individuals with criminal histories are much more likely to experience adverse hiring decisions, as well as when competing for jobs among similarly qualified individuals. While there also appears to be some mitigating effects for those who have high-level skills, further research is needed. It should also be noted that felony convictions also hold more serious negative implications for employment in that the charge alone. In summary, those individuals with criminal histories are much more likely to experience adverse hiring decisions as well as when competing for jobs among similarly qualified individuals. While there also appears to be some mitigating effects for those who have high-level skills, further research is needed. It should also be noted that felony convictions also hold more serious negative implications for employment, and that charge alone may negate persons for job consideration, for example, in obtaining security clearances, working in education or healthcare, human service careers, law enforcement, and investment licensure. Studies have identified that occupations in which ex-offenders are most likely to obtain and maintain employment are among the construction, production, manufacturing, office and administrative support, and installation, maintenance, and repair occupations. For further information regarding this podcast or any of our previous podcasts, please feel free to contact us at 517-622-4878. All podcast materials, including the transcripts, can be located on our website at www.hfarehab.com in our educational podcast section.